And the city welcomed them pretty much with open arms, although with a little bit of patronizing curiosity, thinking, you know, these guys are interesting. They're the first people from outside the mainland U.S. to come to this event, but there's no way they have a chance against us.
That's Julian Smith, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Julian Smith writes about science, adventure, and history for Smithsonian, National Geographic Traveler, Wired, and Outside, among other publications. He's also the author of Crossing the Heart of Africa, which won the Lowell Thomas Travel Journalism Award. He joins us to talk about Aloha Rodeo, three Hawaiian cowboys, the world's greatest rodeo, and a hidden history of the American West. He co-authored the book along with David Woolman. Julian, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, what inspired you and your co-author to write this book?
Well, we first heard about the story on the Big Island in a museum display that just gave a couple sentences, just the barest bones of the story. In 1908, three of these Hawaiian cowboys called Paniolo went to Wyoming and won the biggest rodeo in the country. And then they're kind of well known in the islands. They're a bit of local legends, but outside the islands, definitely not. So, of course, we were intrigued and we started digging. And the deeper we dug, the more to the story there was.
Well, one of the things I understand you discovered was that the cowboy culture in Hawaii actually predates that of the mainland.
Yeah, the first cattle were introduced to Hawaii by the English in the very end of the 18th century. And they pretty much ran wild for decades. Hawaiian rulers realized they needed help and some advice on how to get these animals with 6-foot horns, they were longhorns, under control. So they sent for some Spanish cowboys from New Spain, which is in Mexico today, called vaqueros. They brought over a handful of them and they taught the Hawaiians how to rope and manage cattle.
So when did this cowboy culture of Hawaii finally interact with the cowboy culture of the mainland?
Well, there was some contact back and forth in the very end of the 19th century, early 20th century. They invited a few cowboys from the mainland to come to Honolulu for a small rodeo they held there in 1903. And a Hawaiian named Eben Lowe, who was actually one of the best Paniolos, even after he lost one of his hands in an accident, he was kind of a born promoter. So he traveled to the U.S. in 1907 and ended up at Cheyenne Frontier Days after meeting Teddy Roosevelt in the White House. And he was watching this top talent on the mainland thinking to himself, you know what, my boys back home can beat these guys.
Set the stage for us. What sort of led up to the rodeo that they attended in 1908, and what was the situation like when they arrived?
Well, the Cheyenne Frontier Days was pretty much the biggest rodeo in the country at the time. It had been held for about 10 years, and it attracted the top cowboys from all around the country in the mainland. And at that point, Hawaii had just been annexed by the U.S. a little over a decade before, but a lot of people on the mainland weren't even aware that these islands were part of the United States yet. So they often referred to these guys as foreigners. And so they traveled to Cheyenne in August 1908. They took a ship across the Pacific, which none of them had ever done. They hopped this train in San Francisco, the Overland Limited, and rode that for a few days over to Cheyenne. And the city welcomed them pretty much with open arms, although with a little bit of patronizing curiosity, thinking, you know, these guys are interesting. They're the first people from outside the mainland U.S. to come to this event, but there's no way they have a chance against us.
So what ultimately happened was a total surprise to them. But before we learn more about the outcome here, tell us more about these three Hawaiian cowboys.
Well, they were three cousins, Ikua Purdy, Archie Ka'a'a, and Jack Lowe. And Ikua was pretty much known as the best of the best. He was a short guy, tough as nails. He was the one who made this amazing multi-day overnight ride pretty much across a good chunk of the Big Island of Hawaii to save his cousin Eben's life after he got his hand crushed. And so that's part of the reason Eben picked these three guys. They were the three best Paniolo he knew. So he was sending his top talent to the mainland to show them what they could do.
So these guys show up, and they're similar but yet different in, for example, how they dressed and the cowboy equipment that they were used to using.
Yeah, a lot of their equipment was pretty familiar. You know, they had the chaps and the hats and the spurs, but there are a lot of little differences, like the lassos that they used were made of braided rawhide instead of the hemp fiber that most of the cowboys on the mainland used, and that was because it held up better in the humid conditions in the Hawaiian tropical forest. And they also wore leis around their hat, so they strode out into the arena at Cheyenne Frontier Days with flowers around their heads.
So as you said, the expectation was, okay, this is interesting, but you know, these guys are really no competition.
Yeah, it was really interesting in the research to watch the tenor of the local newspaper coverage change over the 3 days that the Frontier Days spanned. You know, at first it was, you know, very welcoming. These guys are here. Aren't they interesting? You know, they put their photograph on the front page. And then after they started beating some of the local guys, the attitude of the paper was like, okay, now it's really time for the local boys to step up and show these guys who are the real cowboys. Because these titles had never really been won by anybody outside of Wyoming before. So there was a lot of local pride involved.
So their pride was bruised a bit. But what did this ultimately do for the relationship between two different sort of cowboy cultures and the mainland perception of what it was like to be a cowboy in Hawaii?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because not only did the Paniolo show the mainland cowboys how good they were, you know, they left with a great deal of respect from the locals, who really still couldn't quite grasp the fact that they had just been beaten badly. But when these guys got back to Hawaii, they were greeted as heroes. They had parades and luaus pretty much wherever they went. People composed poetry about their victory. So it was a real point of pride for Hawaiians at a time when their national identity was really going through a lot of changes, because they had just been absorbed into this empire, basically. And so it was kind of an identity crisis for Hawaii. So the victory of these three guys in Wyoming kind of pretty much came at a crucial time. And it was the boost that Hawaiians needed. There's a quote from one of the newspapers that said, "The Paniolo have proved to the rest of the world that Hawaii is more than a hula platform in the mid-Pacific." So that kind of sums up the attitude.
So what was the relationship like in terms of how Hawaii was perceived in the mainland? Was there a lot of racial discrimination? Was there a lot of prejudice at that time? And did this help change things in any way?
Well, there was definitely a lot of prejudice in the United States as a whole towards Hispanics, towards Blacks, even towards women. So prejudice was definitely an issue still in the United States, but we didn't really find any record of the Hawaiians meeting that when they came to Cheyenne. There was one account of a bartender who refused to serve them drinks until he was told, "Hey, these are the Hawaiians." And then he said, "Oh, okay, here's your drinks." But no, we didn't really find that they experienced much racism or any of the other stuff that was going on in the United States. People in Hawaii will always point to the anecdote that they didn't get their horses until right before the finals, which is kind of a key thing in rodeo, especially steer roping, the event that they were competing in. It's a real tight bond between man and horse. You really have to know your horse, and they have to know how to respond to you. So these guys were competing on horses they had just barely met against cowboys who had, you know, years, if not decades, of experience with the ones that they were riding.
I'm curious, obviously, a lot of years have passed since then, and we still have rodeos, and there's a whole culture about that in the United States. Do you still see that in Hawaii?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of Paniolo pride. There's still a lot of cattle ranching on the islands, especially on the Big Island and Maui. They're not as big as they used to be. Back when, about 100 years ago, Hawaii had the largest privately owned ranch in the United States. But there's still a lot of local rodeos. There's Western weeks at certain places. And these guys are really remembered as pretty much the ones that started this whole thing, at least in regards to the outside world.
In addition to the three cowboys you spotlight in this book, you also talk about just, the ranchers, the cowgirls, the missionaries, all those sort of things that play into the culture there? And what sort of interplay is there between what you see going on in Hawaii at that time and what was happening in the mainland?
Well, the situation in Hawaii was really interesting in particular, we found, because it was this juxtaposition of how isolated they are, but also how that very isolation made them kind of the crossroads of the Pacific, which was a nickname that the islands had, because everybody crossing that vast expanse had to stop in Hawaii. So it actually was much more racially diverse and everybody got along better than on the mainland. So when the Hawaiians came to the U.S., they would see the racism that was, pretty prevalent even in the West. And it was just a very different experience for them. So yeah, that's one of the themes that we've really tried to emphasize, is this idea that diversity is a benefit. It's not a drawback. And that definitely seems pretty relevant today.
I'm curious, as you were doing your research for this book, what surprised you the most?
I would say one of the most surprising things was in terms of the cattle's importance in the history of Hawaii, which is just something that, many people are just astounded by. They have the beach and surfer and palm tree image of these islands. But, even before out west, we had cowboys. These guys were riding through the jungle, riding down across these barren lava plains, down onto the beach, driving the cows actually into the ocean to swim out to these ships. And every so often a shark would grab one. So it's a combination of the importance of cattle in the history of Hawaii and also the unbelievably tough day-to-day job that these guys did.
Well, Julian, obviously there's a lot in this book that we didn't have time to get around to talking about, but I want to thank you for spending this time with us and best of luck with the book.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
The book is Aloha Rodeo, Three Hawaiian Cowboys, The World's Greatest Rodeo, and a Hidden History of the American West. Julian Smith co-authored the book along with David Wolman. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes, and you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.